Morning.
Good morning.
It is great to be here. And it's exciting to be here with at least most of the family. Henry and John are still in Costa Rica, and my wife Rocio and Diego, Pedro, Pablo, and finally Ana Maria. Yay! So be sure that you get an opportunity to see her. She's the one you hear right now, the hungry one back there. We also have a guest with us. Her name is Cecilia. She's a member of our church, and she does not speak English. This is fulfilling a lifelong dream for her to be able to come to the United States. When we lived here, the 3 years we've known Cecilia for many years. When we lived here before, we tried time and time again to get her a visa to come and visit us, and it's just very difficult to get visas. But praise the Lord, this time they gave it to her. So yeah, she's very excited to be here as well. We are here for a few reasons, visiting in the States and with our brothers and sisters in Christ here. One is Rocio and Diego have to meet the residency requirements. They have to be here at least once a year, and we're hoping to get missionary status for them, so it'll be once every 2 years after that. And eventually, we'd like to get citizenship for them so we don't have to worry about losing residency. As was the case with Cecilia, trying to get a visa every time you leave, you never know whether you're going to get it or not. So that would not be a good thing. Another reason we came is, for those that do not know, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And he had prostate surgery about 2 weeks ago. The day after, he had a heart attack. And so he's doing much better. His health has been improving. A few days ago, he actually went home. He's at home now, so he's getting better. And we praise the Lord for that good news. But we're also here to visit with my dad. We're here to visit with our dear family here at Tree of Life. It's so exciting for us to be here. And of course, we wouldn't be able to show our face if we didn't bring Ana Maria with us. So that our family here, as well as the rest of our family, my mom and dad and so forth, can get to meet her. This morning I want to give you an update about what's going on in Costa Rica. But before I do, I want to ask you a question. Why do we work in missions? Why do we evangelize? What's the reason? The Great Commission, okay, the Great Commission. So in the Great Commission, we could say we do it for obedience. Yeah. We're told to do it, so we need to go and do it. What's another reason that we commonly hear why we evangelize? Why missions? Love for others, compassion. So first, obedience. God tells us to do it. Jesus is King, and he says, I've been given all authority on heaven and earth. Basically, he's been made King. And he says, go. And so we're his citizens of his kingdom. So we go and we do what we're supposed to do. And we also follow his example. He died on the cross in compassion and love for others. So we're to do the same. We're to have a heart for the lost who are marching, hurrying on their way to hell. And we're to understand that reality and act much in the same way as Christ. But there is one other reason why we work in missions, why we evangelize. And it's this reason that drove the reformers of the past. What is the purpose of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. In Romans 1, verse 21, speaking of those who do not know Christ, it says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." They did not honor God. In the Spanish, it says, the direct translation is, they did not glorify God. So you have basically two groups of people out in the world right now. You have that group which is glorifying God, and you have that group which is not glorifying God. Does it bother us that there are people out there that are robbing God of the glory that is due Him?
Yeah.
It should. So what should be one of our driving, motivating reasons to work in missions, to work in evangelism? For God's glory. He is worthy of all the glory. So, yes, we go for obedience. We go forward in compassion. But we also go forward knowing that every person I can share the gospel with, this is a potential person that can give glory to God. Doesn't that excite you? To be able to expand the kingdom of God so that there's more and more people that can lift their voices up and glorify the Lord? What an incredible privilege we've been given to glorify the Almighty. And when we think about it like that, when we look at the Great Commission, and Jesus says, all authority has been given on earth and in heaven to Him. He's saying, I've been declared king. Now go forward. Why? When we spread the gospel message, the people out here will either come to know Christ and glorify Him, or they will become His footstools. He is king. And He will be glorified one way or another through the message that we share with the world around us. So, for the glory of God, this is what drove Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, William Carey, David Brainerd, the great reformers. They were driven by a passion for the glory of God. And what is Tree of Life Christian Church doing to fulfill this glory of God? To give greater glory to God? To be obedient? To show compassion to those around the world? Well, for one, we're working in Costa Rica missions. And we were sent down, my family and I, to work in a few different areas. And real briefly, some of the things that are happening down there. We've been working with the Reformed Christian School in San Jose, Costa Rica. The Reformed Christian School has 200 students. A good number of those are non-Christians. The parents send their children there. Why? Because they have good North American teachers and they're going to learn English. Just like Renee's doing down there. And a lot of these students come to know the Lord. And through them, their parents. It's exciting to see what happens at the school. A couple months ago, I was elected president of the school board. And I've been doing quite a bit of work. We just started the school year last month. And I gave the teacher in-service training. I'm giving the monthly teacher in-service trainings. There's physical work to do at the school. The school's got a shoestring budget, which makes it somewhat difficult at times. But it's going forward, and it's doing well. And for those of you that are familiar with the school environment, what makes the school run, what makes it good or bad, are the teachers. And praise the Lord, there's a good group of teachers down there, like Renee, that are doing a wonderful job, have a heart for the students, and they're teaching them, but they're teaching Christ, all within a Christ-centered education. About 5 weeks ago, I went to Nicaragua for 1 week. There was a seminar on Christian worldview given. We had members from Costa Rica, from Nicaragua, and from Honduras that all went to this conference. And there were four speakers. I was one of the four speakers there on this Christian worldview. It was a wonderful time. It was intense. Most everybody that goes to this is 18, 20 years and above, because it's intense. We would start at 7 in the morning, and other than taking breaks for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a little coffee break or something like that, we went until 9 o'clock at night. It was go, go, go. Ask Diego, because he was there sitting on those hard little chairs all day long, day after day. But it was great. I mean, it was just getting the word all day long. It was a wonderful time. Diego was the by far the youngest person they've ever had go to anything like that. And a lot of compliments. How can he sit through all this? And he actually got asked questions, and he was able to respond. He was paying attention. So, yeah. John also went with us, and it was a blessing. It was about a 10-hour drive to Managua, and it was just wonderful to visit with the brothers and sisters from Nicaragua and Honduras. I was not aware that currently in Honduras there are over 100 Reformed churches. Yeah. Nicaragua, there's two. And in Costa Rica, we're up to about five. So, yeah, the work's taking off in Honduras. Nicaragua and Costa Rica have a lot of work to do. We also were working with Pacto de Gracia Church. And they still haven't decided where they're going to move to. There was a lot of problems with this because they wanted me to help with evangelism, but they weren't sure where physically they were going to locate the church. So they kept saying, just wait, just wait, just wait. Finally, they said, you know, why don't you go ahead and start investigating where, you know, church plant, Santo Domingo or Cartago. And as I shared with you last time, we've got some Bible studies going up in Cartago, and things just started happening and growing. Before you know it, I was picking up our van load of people that were coming from Cartago to the bus stop. I'd pick them up, take them to Pacto de Gracia, but it got to be too much for them. The travel time for them in bus and for me to pick them up and then take them, and then by the time they get home and some of them had kids, it was just hard. So, March 6th, with 18 people, we held the first services of the First Reformed Church of Cartago. It was a very exciting time. 7 weeks ago, by the grace of God, we have had numbers steadily increase since then. We started with 18 the first week, and last week we had 28. It just, you know, keeps going up and up. We don't expect it to always, I guess we can expect it. you know, eventually you're going to get to a point where you're going to, there's some people that are going just to check things out, and you're just not really sure where their hearts are at. So we're in a time of growing, learning from one another, and a time of discipleship. Most of the people that are going and that have committed are either new believers or old believers without much of a biblical foundation. We've rented a building. It's a wonderful location. For those of you that were here a month and a half ago or so when I was here, we did end up running that party rental vacation. So it's ours 7 days a week. And it's a cute little place. It holds up to 150 people. So there's plenty of room to grow. It's a good location because in Costa Rica, there's no street names or numbers. You know, if you need to go someplace, you go by landmarks. You say, you know, you go to the fire station, you turn right 3 blocks. Well, actually, I don't even say that. You go north and then you go up 2 blocks and you go east 5 more blocks and it's the house with the blue gate and the white trim. What's difficult is sometimes when they use landmarks that used to be there. You turn left at the fig tree, and you're like, there's no fig tree. Well, yeah, but everybody knows it used to be there. Fortunately for our church, we're right next door to a great landmark. It's a they sell fried or roasted chicken, and it's shaped like a 2 or almost 3-story castle. Oh, wow. So it's castle chicken, Pollos del Castillo, and we're right next door to them. So it's like we're right next door to Pollos del Castillo. Oh, okay. So good location. Coming into Cartago, there's 3 main roads, and we're on one of those main roads that cuts through Cartago. I've ordered some signs. The building had 2 large lighted signs, and we asked the guy who we're running from if we could just pull the laminated sheets out and put our own in. And so we're ordering signs, going to have signs made because it's such a great location where people coming through town. There it's going to be, First Reformed Church of Cartago. Although we've been holding services, the official opening ceremonies will be taking place May 15th. We're kind of just doing things to tide things over, scrambling, kind of getting things ready. We've had the children in with us during the, you know, there's no Sunday school or anything for the kids. Just trying to get materials and things ready, and we're borrowing chairs right now, and it's just been a lot of work to do. But May 15th, after that, that's our official start date. The church at Tepeyac, the church of Pacto de Gracia, Los Cuadros, and the Reformed Baptist Church in Los Lagos. Many of the members from those churches are going to be coming to the First Reformed Church for that opening ceremony. And it's going to be a celebration. We've asked the music group from Tepeyac. They have a wonderful music ministry there. They're leading the worship during that time. Basically, we're celebrating what the Lord is doing, and the privilege that we've been given to be there and to be used by Him in that place. And in that opening ceremonies, we've invited the world-famous Pastor Tim to give the... soon to be world-famous, right? Once he gets to Costa Rica. to give the sermon on that very special occasion. Yeah, we do have Bill Green is one of the best translators I've run across. I mean, the guy is just amazing, and he has agreed to translate the message. It will have to be a little bit shorter than normal because of translation time. Just keep that in mind. Do we believe in miracles? No. The numbers are growing at the First Reformed Church, not through campaigns, no gimmicks, no tracks. It's been the work of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And it's been a wonderful, exciting thing that's happening there. And that's primarily, the Lord has primarily been using family and friends. It's been interesting how this has happened. Some members of Rocio's family live in Cartago. One sister and her husband, they were some of the initial group that were telling us, you know, there's nothing here that teaches anything in depth. We need a church here. And her and her husband and two children now are members of the church. And through them, they've the Rocio sister Estrella, she's just a fireball. I mean, she's out telling her neighbors. They have a Bible study that I teach at their house going on. They have neighbors. One lady is a Catholic lady that's attending. Just what was it 2 weeks ago, or the last week? We're studying Ephesians, and it was Ephesians 8, 9, and 10. So we're talking about justification by faith alone. And after the teaching, she came up to me, and she's Catholic, remember? And she says, "It makes me so mad what the Catholic Church has done with that." But once again, family and friends, how these contacts are just extending in this way. Another brother of Rocio's, he is, his name's Jose Amel. He's pretty much been part of the hyper-Pentecostal movement. He started attending the Bible study, and for the last 2 weeks now, he's been attending our church as well. One of Rocio's sister who had walked away from the Lord and we've actually been praying for her salvation. We just, you know, we doubted very seriously whether she was a child of God or not. And for the last couple of weeks, she's been coming. She works on Sundays and really should not have the hours free. We encouraged her, Rocio and Rocio's sister and other sister encouraged her, talk to your boss, see if they'll give you the time, you know, a couple hours off to come to church. So she did, and they said, sure, go ahead. And so here she's going to have this opportunity now to start coming on a regular basis, and she's a single mom. She has two children. The children are coming as well. Cecilia is a dear, good friend of ours for many years. Her husband are members of the church now. Her children have had not expressed any interest in things of the Lord. Her 16-year-old, since we've started the work, has been very active and participating and going to the services, voluntarily going to the Bible studies. He would, one time after school, he hopped on a bus with Henry and took a bus to get up there because we had to go earlier. So they made like a 2-hour trip up there. But it's just so exciting to see his desire to learn and study. One day, his mom came into the room and I give these little slips of paper after every Bible study, basically a rough outline of what we had covered. And one day he's in there studying these little slips of paper, and she asks, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Well, I want to be ready for next week in case I get asked any questions." So it's exciting. Another, family and friends. Cecilia asked, her sister moved to Costa Rica from Nicaragua. Her sister had left the things of the Lord years ago, had been living a wild life. And Cecilia had been talking to her and invited her to church. And she's been coming regularly for the last 3 or 4 weeks now and has expressed. She told me, she goes, I've got to change the way I've been living my life. Family and friends, those contacts. Another couple there, a couple that's been attending, they invited another couple. So that couple came to church. Family and friend contacts. We have some people that have not come yet, but they're contacts I'm still working on, and I believe that sometime soon they will be coming. I had a mechanic that was working on my car 7 weeks ago or so, 8 weeks ago, and the guy couldn't make it. He said, "I know I told you I was going to be there to work on your car. I can't make it. I'm sending my friend." I'm like, okay. So he goes, really? He goes, I trust this guy. You know, he's a good mechanic. He'll do a good job. So he came, he worked on the car. He did a good job. He goes, let's go test drive. So we hop in the car and we're driving around. And he tells me, so what do you do? So I tell him, and I ask him, and do you go to church? He goes, well, yeah. He goes, you know, we're looking for another church, though. This one's pretty far, and sometime soon here, we've got to find another church. We're driving, you know, an hour and a half to get to this one. I said, where do you live? He said, well, I live in Cartago. Yeah, what are the chances? About 6 months ago, there was an Assemblies of God preacher. He met Bill Green, and Bill Green gave him some material, some of the material that they've been producing on the press on the Reformed faith. Well, in the course of those last 6 months, this pastor has left the Assemblies of God churches. He's almost completely with Reformed doctrine now. It's just amazing to see the changes in this man. His desire is to start a Reformed church somewhere in Heredia. His name is Eddie. Good man. He called me up and told me that there's a young couple, new Christians, newlyweds, just moved to Cartago. Here's their phone number. They need a church. And we've had trouble getting in touch with them. He's been at work, or nobody's answering the phone. But anyway, I have this contact, and this is just another one of these connections. This is the way things seem to be happening. Rosie and I, we've been looking for housing up in the Cartago area. We talked to this one man. I think his name was Marvin. And Rocio was talking to him about, you know, where do you go to church? And he said he's Catholic, and although he's not one of the faithful Catholic. And he starts asking us questions about what it's like to be Christian. And, yeah, what it's like. And he says, well, okay, well, what about all this end time stuff? You know, what, you know, Left Behind and all this stuff? You know, what about all this stuff? And so I just said, you know, what's really important is what's true across the board is at the end times, we're all going to be standing before the throne of God, giving account for our lives. And that's going to determine whether you spend eternity before the face of the Lord, or if you spend eternity under the wrath of God. And he said, oh, guess I better work on that. And we invited him, and he's expressed interest. He's married, he has two children, and has expressed interest. But the reason I'm sharing all this with you is because we haven't gone knocking on doors. We haven't done a lot of the things that you normally think of when you think evangelism. It's been these contacts, friends, family, just natural contacts. And then I ran across these statistics that a friend gave me in Costa Rica. These statistics come from the United States. People who have become members of churches, though the percentage of people who have become churches in the United States, this survey was taken like 3 or 4 years ago, through pastoral influence, 5%. Through church influence, meaning Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and programs like that, 20%. Through crusades and revivals, evangelistic crusades and revivals, 0.01%. Family and friends, 75%. 75%. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that just make you want to go back out there and go talk to your family and friends? That's where it's at. We're growing. We're starting off slow, but we're growing. We do have some obstacles. One is housing. We're traveling to and from Cartago 4 to 5 times a week. and it's very tiring. Many times we'll have an appointment in the morning, Bible study in the afternoon, and it's too far away to drive back to Santo Domingo and then back out there again. So then you're out there and you need the family over there for the evening thing, so you take everybody with you. And then you've got no place to eat, so then you've got to figure out what you're going to do. It's just a mess. It's been very tiring. Typically on the days where Ana Maria is with us, you know, her schedule is so broken up. It's difficult. So one of the obstacles is housing. We really need to find some housing up there. And we've been looking around as we've had time available. We have discipleship going on up there. We have Bible studies. We have counseling. We have premarital counseling going on. One of the things I forgot to mention to you. Through our discipleship, premarital counseling, I anticipate with next month, maybe two, we should have one or possibly two baptisms at the church. And by August, we should have our first wedding at the church. Yeah. But the whole back and forth thing has been difficult. Meals, gas, time has been somewhat tiring. So one of the things that you could pray for, please, would be that the Lord would provide housing for us up there. One of the things that you just have to get used to as part of the culture is time. They march to a different beat. just to give you an idea, you know, here, if you have bills to pay, you just write your checks and you pop in the mail and off they go. Well, people don't use checks there, so you have to actually go to each place and pay cash. And there's lines, lines everywhere. One of my old friends there, he said, I have to give you a little Spanish lesson here first. In Costa Rica, they say, pura vida, pure life, pura vida. That's just an expression meaning things are great, pura vida. And so when people talk about Costa Rica is pura vida. It's pure life. It's great. Fila is line. And so this friend of mine said, Costa Rica no es pura vida. It's pura fila. It's lines everywhere. You go into a bank, you're going to be there an hour, hour and a half. You need to go pay your bills here. So time is a little bit different. So you can't think about just going and getting things done quite the way you would here. So that's a little frustrating sometimes. You know, you got all these things to do, and you've got to go pay a bill, or you've got to go do something, and it just takes a little bit more time. My residency. I arrived there, August 16th, August 20th, something like that. I had residency before in Costa Rica. They have my residency card in immigration. I have had one meeting after another with them at immigration, and I'm still in the process. And each day I go, it's an entire day over there. And I'm still working on getting my residency renewed. Time. Third obstacle would be, as I've mentioned in my last visit, would be Christian doctrine in the Christian community, what I call hyper-Pentecostalism and other strange doctrinal beliefs. Still rampant. Fourth obstacle would be we're right in the heart of Cartago, right in the heart of Catholicism in Costa Rica. Mary worship. The other day, when was it? About 5 weeks ago or so, Renee got to experience something pretty neat. We had gone for a little walk and the Catholic Church close by had decided to do the Stations of the Cross. And so different people had set up these very impressive stations at their house. And so you had like a couple hundred people marching along, and they'd stop at each one of these stations and recite their prayers and kneel and bow before these different altars and then move on. And The people who set up the stations, they get so many years off of purgatory or whatever for setting them up. And then if you participate, you know, that gives you so much time out of the hot place as well. And it was pretty amazing to see. So one thing that was very sad about that was we have some neighbors who are Christian, so they say, but then I see the lady participating, and I don't mean just one of the followers. She was one of the ones that the priest gave the microphone to lead everybody else. So some people in your Christian community, they have a hard time separating the truth from these traditions. And then persecution. When I was here last, I'd mentioned that 75 to 80 churches had been closed down by the state. Shortly after that, the Evangelical Federation of Costa Rica put a full-page ad, paid thousands of dollars for this full-page ad in the Costa Rican newspaper, basically saying, these are the things that we believe in. And then toward the bottom it says, and we make a protest to the president of the country, to the legislative assembly, to the courts. Concern about the closing of 80 Christian churches in this country by the Ministry of Health for various reasons. Now, they've been closed for various reasons, things like not having handicapped bathrooms. Now, the Catholic Church don't have those. Catholic schools don't have those. In fact, nobody has those. But if a Christian school or a Christian church doesn't have them, they're right on top of you to close you down. And so this was about 5 weeks ago, and today there's 120 churches closed. So it's just gotten worse. So we need to continue praying for our Christian brothers and sisters in Costa Rica. I think my time's long gone. Well, I'm right there. Let me finish up in Romans. Romans 1 again. Romans 1, verse 14. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. The First Reformed Church is growing. It's not through anything but the Lord. And I love this. The gospel, it's the power of God for salvation. The power of God for salvation. The righteousness of God is revealed in it from faith to faith. And may we have the same attitude as Paul. Verse 14, he says, I am under obligation. May we all feel obligated, an obligation, obedience to preach the gospel message to family, to friends, through Costa Rica missions, to give greater glory to God. I am obligated, Paul says. In verse 15, he says, for my part, I am eager. He didn't just go with this heavy yoke, I'm obligated. He was eager to get out there and get that message out, to show compassion to those who are lost, to be obedient to the Lord, but also to give greater glory to to our Lord and God. And on verse 16, the third characteristic of Paul as he shared the gospel, I'm not ashamed. He was not ashamed of the gospel message. He went out boldly. And so my prayer for us is that we would continue to serve the Lord in Costa Rica missions with our families, with our friends, Tree of Life Christian Church, in all that we do, as brothers and sisters and as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that we would be obligated, eager, and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I just want to end the service this morning with reading to you the lyrics of the song, one of the songs that we sang this morning, and then we'll pray together for the work that the Lord is doing through the Delaplane family and in his new lampstand, the Lord's lampstand that he's planted in Cartago. This is the song, Your Great Renown. Our hearts are longing for the glory of the Lord to be made known in all the earth. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done. Yours is the greatest name of all. Our hearts are longing for the wisdom of the Lord to be proclaimed in all the earth. Your ways are higher than the dreams of any man. Yours is the greatest name of all. We want to see the nations bow. We want to hear the rising sound of the worship that you deserve. We want this passion to abound, a burden for your great renown, for yours is the greatest name of all. Our hearts are hungry for the power of the Lord to be displayed in all the earth. The message of the cross will bring hope to the lost. Yours is the greatest name of all. Father God, thank you for the blessing of bringing Clint and Rocio and family back to share this time with us and the update, the good report from far country, Lord, that we've received as your messengers are coming back to share with us the blessings that they are seeing unfolding by the power of your hand as you're working in Cartago, as you're working in the hearts and the minds of people that you've marked out for yourself from before the foundation of the world, and you're now drawing to yourself and drawing together and forming them into a people, Lord, that are going to bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you for your mighty hand, Lord, and what you're doing in Cartago. And thank you that you've given us the privilege here of participating in the outstretched arm of the Lord as you're working there. We ask, Father, that you would work in our hearts to keep us faithful, to continue the support that you've drawn us to commit to. And I pray, Father, that you would strengthen the hearts of Clint and Rocio and their family, Clint especially, Lord, for the work that's ahead. And I pray for your blessing upon them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.